You are tuning into the True North Church podcast. Our prayer is that you would be inspired and encouraged by today's message. For more information about True North Church, please visit us online at truenorthak.org.
Our focus for the rest of this month is missions, global missions. One of our True North values is we're a global church. And so each week you're going to see just a little video like this introducing some of our missionaries. And what we did was a little different than the normal, hey, tell us what we're doing and where we can send our check to. We said, hey, tell us what it means that you have a church in partnership with you, because we want you to know as True North Church that if you're a part of this church, you are a part of global missions. And that's what this whole series is about. But before I dive into that, first of all, can we welcome a couple people? First of all, if you're here in person, would you welcome yourself? Good job. Well done. And if you're here in person, would you welcome our online gathering who's watching? We're live streaming this gathering into correctional facilities and around the state. Can we welcome those who are joining us as well? So glad you're able to join us, whether in person or online. My name is Rob. I'm one of the pastors on staff, and I am super excited about this series. The first 20 years of my life as a professional Christian, that's what I call us pastors, we're professional Christians, was in overseas cross-cultural missions. And so I love missions. I spent, like I said, 20 plus years doing it. I met my wife in missions, so I'm forever grateful to God for it. And I'm so excited that we get to this week and the next 2 weeks talk to you about what it means that as True North, we're involved in missions. And I want to say this again, you are involved in missions as a part of this church. In fact, hopefully when you came in, you got handed one of these amazing books that's got a lot of information about different trips that we're inviting you to join us on this year. It's got information about our partners, both locally and overseas and everywhere in between. And it's got in the middle a little printing error that says we're going to go and make disciples of Al. Okay, I don't know who Al is, but if you know him, you can follow him around and say, hey, my church is going to be disciples of you. No, of all nations, of course. And then at the back as well, it's got information about where we are building churches. If you're a part of True North, you may know this, that we are committed to every year building 5 churches outside of the U.S. As part of our support and partnership with Global Missions. And so that's the series we're in, and I am super excited to be talking today kind of about the why of missions and really what we're calling God's heart for the nations. How many of you have ever tried to do something because someone you love has asked you to do it or invited you to be part of it? Okay, maybe a family member, maybe a spouse, maybe just a friend, and they've said, hey, why don't you join me in doing this thing? And you've thought, because I don't understand why you do it in the first place. When my wife and I were first starting dating and then got engaged, in the first few years of our marriage, she did something I did not understand at all. I didn't understand why she did it. I didn't understand why she was so disciplined in doing it all the time. And it was this: she jogged. Okay? She got up early to go jogging. She did it like 6 days a week. She was committed to it. And I had no understanding of why. I would eat my potato chips and be like, why do you do that? And I'll just say, my lack of understanding, eventually it showed. Okay? And so a few years into our marriage, though, she began to run these half marathons. And the problem was is that I got a little jealous, you know, FOMO, fear of missing out, because she would run it with a few of her other friends, and then they would spend the day at this really nice kind of hotel and poolside. Like, it was this, like, you did the run, and then you got the reward. And I was like, wait, I want to be a part of that. And so I began to ask her, what do you do? Like, how do you do this? And I began to actually start to train. But it wasn't until I understood why she was doing it, there was a motivation for me to go and do it, that I actually began to enjoy it myself. And in fact, now this year, this is a total humble brag, by the way. Just so you know, there's nothing humble about what I'm about to say. This year, I signed up for my first 50K run. Yes, that's right. Because 50 is an impressive number. But since I got into it, I've run half marathons and I've done a full marathon, and I'm going to do a 50K because now I get it. Because I understood it. As I got to know her and I got to hear and understand her talk about it, and then I began to participate in it, I began to see the value of it, and now I love it. And with God, it's the same thing. Sometimes God says, guys, there's something in my heart I want to invite you to be a part of as my people. And we need to know and understand, God, why? Why is that important to you? Because we want to step into it, so we want to understand God's heart for it. And missions is one of those things. I spent 20 years in missions. In fact, we have a mildly blurry picture because it's old, but we have a picture here of a very young missionary. Do we have it? There it is. I'm the one in the hat on the right with the gray shirt and, of course, the beard. This is in 2002 in Cambodia. And this, in my mind, this is what missions was. It was just adventure. It was riding on the top of trucks everywhere I went. It was just fun and games and everything like that. And then I got into missions, and we did ride on the top of vehicles, as you can see. By the way, you can barely see him because it's totally blurry, but the gentleman to my right, whose head's poking around the corner, he met his wife on that missions trip, and he still today serves in Cambodia, married to that lady with like four kids as a lifelong missionary. So just a little warning, if you're single and you go into missions, you don't know what fruit may come of it, but I still encourage you to try it. But when I got into missions, I had this sense, there was a sense of like, I know this is part of God's heart, but I didn't fully understand what I was getting into. Because this picture, this is a lot of fun. And I remember times like this, but there was the days, can I just be honest with you, when missions wasn't fun? We spent 20 years in cross-cultural context. 10 years I lived in a country where they didn't speak my language, they didn't cook my food, they didn't dress the way I dressed, and there was days when I woke up and I was like, God, I don't know if I want to get out of bed today. There was days when I woke up, I'm just being honest with you, I would like to stand up here and say I was the golden missionary and every day I just floated through my job and it was wonderful and easy, but there was days when it was hard to get up. And I remember learning this a long time ago, and that was this, that God, realizing, God, I'm not here in missions because of who I am, I'm here in missions because of who you are. And as a church, we believe we're called into missions, not because of who we are, but because of who God is. And so we want to look today and say, God, show us your heart for the nations. Show us your heart for people that are different than us. Show us your heart for those who don't know you yet. And we might have to learn a language and we might have to eat some terrible food that we don't even know the name of. And we question where it's come from. Show us your heart for missions. And in fact, we're going to go today. We're going to walk through the Bible. If you've not read your whole Bible ever, by the way, today will count as going through reading your whole Bible, because we're going to go literally from Genesis to Revelations. And by the way, just a little warning, when I was with that missions organization, I taught this topic a lot on our training program, and they gave me a full week to teach it, okay? So I hope you have some way to watch the Super Bowl with you here now, because we might still be here this afternoon. So, we've got a timeline. I know what it is, and I will try my hardest to stick to it. But we're going to walk through the entire Bible. In fact, we're going to start at the end, because I think there is a picture of God's heart so clearly described in the picture we see in the book of Revelations. And the book of Revelations is kind of the spoiler alert, if you will, for what's going to happen. And it starts off with some letters to churches, and then we have this picture where John, the author of the book, has a vision of what heaven is going to be like. And he sees God and his throne, and he sees angels, and he sees the apostles and some of the special people, and he sees Jesus, of course, Jesus there. And then it gets to this, and this is in Revelations chapter 7, verse 9, and it says this. He says, I saw a vast crowd, too great to count. I told Pastor Dan earlier today, I think John is my favorite apostle because he can't be bothered to do the math. So, but a crowd too great to count from every nation and tribe and people and language, standing in front of the throne and before the Lamb. So in front of the throne of God for all eternity is every people, every tribe, every language worshiping God, saying, God, you are our God. God, you are the one we worship as the Most High. And he goes on and says this. It says, they were clothed in white robes and held palm branches in their hand, and they were shouting with a great roar, salvation comes from our God who sits on the throne and from the Lamb. And the Lamb is Jesus. So God's heart, his ultimate goal is all of the nations before him, worshiping him because they were saved by his son, Jesus Christ. There is no other way. Jesus Christ isn't just for us in North America and the others have another way into heaven. Jesus Christ died for all nations. And God's ultimate goal is that all nations will be worshiping him. So our ultimate mission right now is that all nations hear about him. That's why global missions is important, because God says it's on my heart that all nations are represented, that all nations are there worshiping me. Now, I don't know about you, I don't speak all languages, but I love listening to some of the other languages worship God. And I'm excited about that day. I'm excited about the day where we get to stand with other nations, people so different from us, but the same as us, because we all have one God and one Savior. And so again, God's ultimate goal must be our current mission, and that is that the nations get the chance to worship Him through Jesus Christ as His Savior. And that's what we're going to look at today. In fact, before we start, though, I want to look at this idea of nations. We think in terms of politics when we think nations, but the word in the Bible often translates in English, nations, is actually a word ethne, and it means ethnic group or ethnicity. So I want you to kind of put aside political nations and borders right now. Please remember that I'm from Canada, but other than that, put aside and think in ethnic groups. And here's what this means. You know, God wants representatives from every Alaskan Native tribe and language worshiping Him. God wants people from every people group in Africa or the Middle East or Asia worshiping Him in their language. And you know, if you know the missional statistics that are out there, and you can go find them online, but there are still what we call unreached people groups that have no idea who God is. And God's saying, I want them worshiping me in heaven. So don't think just in terms of political nations, okay? But think in terms of ethnic groups as we look at this, as we say, how do we understand God's heart for the nations? So we see God's heart for the nations through the entire Bible. And I'm about to do one of the quickest runs through the entire Bible ever. And again, you can count it as your year-long Bible reading if you want to. But we're going now from Revelations, which is the last book, all the way back to the first book. And we're going to look at the book of Genesis as we begin to try and understand God's heart for the nation. So the story of creation, the first 10 chapters of Genesis, in a nutshell, is this. God creates the earth, creates man. Man sins. They separate themselves from there. By the way, the first commandment God ever gave to man was go forth and multiply. And they did a great job with that because they begin to multiply the world. And maybe, by the way, this is a good time to remind you husbands that tomorrow is Valentine's Day. Okay, just a reminder to the husbands. That's all we'll say about that. So they're going forth and they're multiplying, and then they're having all these families, and these families are growing and they become tribes. And to some degree, they become different nations in the first 10 chapters. In fact, in chapter 10, there's a list of the different tribes that are out there. But we get to chapter 11 and we have this very interesting story that we often refer to as the Tower of Babel. And at the beginning of this chapter, it says, though, at the time in the whole world, they spoke one language. One language. Wouldn't that be nice? If you could just travel anywhere and not have to worry about a different language, if you could just, we all just understood each other. And in the story of the Tower of Babel, and I think the verses are going to be up here yet, but I might just kind of summarize it. The people that are spread out around the world, but all in, really from one large extended family at the time, they all come together and they say this, let's build a tower that reaches into heaven. And really what they're saying is, let's remove our need for God. Let's all come together and remove our need for God. We ourselves will become the center of the earth. We will be famous as the strongest, most powerful thing on earth. Over all the animals, over all the creation, we will remove our need for God. And God comes down and He sees this and He sees them working. And here's the crazy thing. God says they're actually going to be able to accomplish this. Now, they wouldn't really remove their need for God because we all need God, but they were going to actually fool themselves into thinking they didn't need God. And so He goes, this is not good. And it was their unity that made that possible. So then He divides them up by language. And could you imagine, you know, some of you guys, I know there's contractors in the room. Could you imagine you're sitting there doing your job and you've been saying all day, hammer, and your assistant hands you a hammer. And you say, screwdriver, and they hand you a screwdriver. And you say, wrench, and they say, glub. Wrench. Glub. I mean, imagine it. Because all of a sudden, you don't speak the same language anymore. And the confusion, and all of a sudden the project that they were trying to do to build themselves as the center of the earth, they were no longer able to do. And so from there, God divides them by language. And if you read history or you like this kind of stuff, there's actually some fascinating books out there, but you can trace many cultures back to this event, back to this area of the world, as because of their language differences, they begin to separate and they spread out across the nations. And as they do that, we begin to see God's heart for the nations. And in fact, if you're following along, we've got a worship guide here for you. The first point in understanding God's heart for the nations is this, that God created the nations to save the nations. In other words, God knew if I don't create these nations, I cannot save these people because they will not turn to me. And we can often look at the Tower of Babel in the story, and I think that it was this great punishment of confusion in language. And in some ways, the confusion was meant to stop them, but not in a punishing way, in a way that would draw them back to God. So God goes from one nation on earth to now many languages, many nations, in order that he might be able to save them. And then from there, immediately God's heart is, but I want to get them back. Not back to themselves, not back to one another, but back to him. So they're beginning to separate. And in the very next chapter, in fact, actually at the end of chapter 11, God calls one man away from his home, away from his family to bless the nations. And this is the second thing to help us understand that we must to help us understand God's heart is that God called one man to bless the nations. Again, he didn't call one man to judge or to punish the nations. He called one man out and said, I'm going to use you to bless the nations. Because God's heart immediately wasn't scatter them, send them away. I never want to see them again. Immediately God was saying, if they're scattering, I am going to begin already my plan to draw them back to me. And we know that this man was Abram. And in Genesis 12, we have this incredible promise. In fact, you might say this was the first, what we often call the Great Commission of God saying to his people, this is my plan and purpose for you. And it says this in Genesis 12. The Lord said to Abram, leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you, and I will make you famous. And you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on earth will be blessed through you. So God calls Abram out. And he says, you are going to be a blessing to the world. He didn't call him out and say, Abram, I'm just looking for one person that I can have a relationship with, and I'm going to make you special, and I'm going to wipe out everybody else. He said, no, I'm going to use you. I've called you to be a blessing to the rest of the world, to other families, other nations. And he makes a promise to Abraham. He says, your descendants are going to be uncountable. Your descendants are going to be like the stars in the sky or the sands on the beach. Your descendants are going to be a crowd too large to count. Do you recognize that? It's the same thing God wants in heaven. Too many people for us to count. And out of his descendants, God creates the nation of Israel. And this is the next point in understanding God's heart, is that God makes a covenant with one nation to show himself to all nations. You know, in the Old Testament, we see Israel wrestle with this concept of being the recipient of the blessing versus being the reason for the blessing. And when they understand that they are, like their father Abraham, blessed to be a blessing, and not just blessed because, hey, we're special, God loves us the most, they thrive as a nation. They thrive in the covenant and the relationship they have with God. They influence the world around them. But when they begin to think that they are the reason for the blessing, they begin to falter. And they stumble, and they find themselves in exile, and they find themselves away from God. Because God never meant the blessing his people have to stop with his people. He says, you are blessed to be a blessing. And we actually thrive in our relationship with God, in our covenant with God, when we live out being a blessing for other nations. And as a church, we want to make sure we're in that place, that we have a covenant with God that says, God, we recognize and we say, thank you for the blessing. But we also want to be a blessing to others with it. And then we get a long time later. We're skipping over a whole bunch of books of the Bible here. But it says this, understanding God's heart for the nations, we must recognize that God completed his plan for all nations in Jesus. Jesus is similar to Abraham. Abram, early on in the story, we saw, okay, you have the nations, they're scattered. Now God is calling one man away from his home, his family, his tribe. That's how he sent Jesus. Jesus came to earth in the same way Abram did. He said, Jesus, you're going to leave heaven. You're going to leave your royalty and your throne and the angels worshiping all around you to go down there so that they might know me. This was the ultimate act of missions. I've heard people say Paul was the first missionary. I think Jesus was the first missionary in the Bible because he stepped out of his home because he recognized that missions was on God's heart because God looked at the nations of the world. This is why it says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Not just the Alaskans? What? Even the Canadians? By the way, Canadians have never been so popular in Alaska as we are right now. But this is not a political message, so we're not going to go there. But God completed his plan for all nations in Jesus. Everybody now. In fact, Jesus said this about himself. He said in Matthew 5, he said, "Don't misunderstand why I have come. I did not come to abolish the law of Moses or the writings of the prophets. No, I came to accomplish their purpose." And why was the law there? Why was Israel set up as a nation? We just looked at it, so that they might be a blessing to the nations. So Jesus comes and says, "I have come to complete the purpose of all the nations coming back into heaven so we can have Revelation 7:9 where they're all worshiping God." This has always been God's heart. He loves people different than you and I. And it's easy for us to love them if we understand how much God loves them. And it's easier for us to go in the commission that God has given us, which is the sixth aspect of understanding God's heart, or the fifth, I may have lost count. God commissioned his disciples to go to all nations and preach the gospel, not just the ones we like, not just the ones we get along with, not just the ones where we already know the language. Almost 15 years ago, because I'm not getting any younger, I moved to the Middle East. And I spent the first 2 years trying to learn a language that felt some days like I was just headbutting a wall that was refusing to budge. Because God said, "I love these people. What investment will you make? I've commissioned you to go. I've called you to go. What sacrifice will you make? What will you pay that they might know me?" And I am so glad that when I get up to heaven, there's going to be people there worshiping God because I said yes and went. Because I was commissioned by God. And as a church, we want to be a church that gets up to heaven. And people we don't even know say, "Thank you, True North, for praying. Thank you, True North, for going. Thank you, True North, for sending missionaries. Because of you, now I am in eternity worshiping God." Wouldn't that be amazing? And we're going to look at them, and all we heard was, "Gubbly-glup," but we'll know what they said. Because we understand God's heart for the nations. Now, understanding God's heart is the first step. We need to get and embrace that heart. And this is something for us as a church community, but it's something for each of us as individuals as well. It would not have been enough for me to say to my wife, "Hey, I understand why you go running." I would not have reaped the benefits of being in shape, of feeling healthier, of getting to go and hang out with my friends when they were having that fun time, if I just simply said, "Yes, I understand it." I had to actually step into it and say, not only do I want to understand it, I want to get it for myself. And so we're going to look at how do we not just understand God's heart, but how do we get God's heart for the nations? How do we step into this to share this heart with God? And the first thing is this: I believe that we must be citizens of the kingdom of heaven first. Citizens of the kingdom of heaven first. It says this in Galatians chapter 3. It says, "For you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus, and all who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on Christ," like putting on new clothes. "There is no longer Jew or Gentile. There is no longer slave or free, male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus, and now that you belong to Christ, you are the true children of Abraham." Abraham, who's he? He's the guy all the way back when the nation scattered. He's the first guy God said, "Abram, here's, I'm going to, through you, start my plan to save them." We are the continuation of God's plan to save the nations. But we're not that as Americans, or as Canadians, or as Alaskans, or as True Northers. We are that as children of God. And the first thing we must do is recognize that we are children of God, that our citizenship is the kingdom of heaven first. You know, when we would travel overseas, this was a long time ago, I'm sure this isn't the same now, but Canadians, when we travel, and I did this, we put the Canadian flag on our backpack, okay? Why do you think we do that? And I apologize on behalf of all Canadians. The answer is this: because we don't want to be thought of as Americans. So we put the Canadian backpack all, or the Canadian flag all over the things when we're traveling. In fact, I had American friends who would sew the Canadian flag on their backpack because it just made it easier in some places. But you know what? When I was in missions and I was traveling, I wasn't going as a Canadian or a non-American. I was going as I'm here as a child of God. And the frustrations. I remember one time I flew into a nation and I landed and I got to the airport and they said, you can't come in. I said, well, what do you mean? They said, sorry, Canadians can't come in. I said, I looked online last week. I bought my ticket. It didn't say anything about Canadians needing visas or anything like that. And they said, yeah, no, 2 days ago we changed it. We don't like Canadians now. Well, let me tell you what I thought of that. Long story short, I did get my way in there because I don't take things like that nicely, and I had already paid for my ticket to get there. But here's what I recognized. If I'm traveling around the world as a Canadian, I'm only going to have an impact for my nation. The reputation I carry is only for my nation. I need to recognize first and foremost, I'm no longer Canadian, I'm now a Christian. I'm now a child of God. And as we look at going into other nations, if we go with a national identity, we'll bring them democracy. And if we go with a national identity, we'll bring them an economic structure. But if we go as Christians, we bring them eternity. And that is what we want to bring them. That is what missions is all about. So the first thing we must do is first recognize and see ourselves as children of God, as citizens of the kingdom of heaven first. The second thing we must do is to see yourself as the recipient of God's blessing. The recipient of God's blessing. Yes, God has blessed us. But we're not the reason for that blessing. In fact, you go back to that Abrahamic covenant in Genesis 12. The reason for the blessing is the others. Not us, it's the others. The other families, the other nations. The reason we've been given what we have is God's people. And I don't know how much you consider your life blessed or not. If the only blessing you have in your life right now is that you're saved, you've been saved so that God can use you to reach other people. If you're in a place where financially you've been very blessed, you've been blessed so that you can be a blessing to others. If you've been blessed with good health, you're in a place where you can travel and go to bring the gospel to others. You have been blessed to be a blessing. And if you begin to see yourself as the reason for the blessing and not the recipient, you're going to get it backwards. And you're going to expect God to work for you instead of us working for God. So we must recognize we're the recipients of the blessing, not the reason for it. Thirdly, we must honor people from all cultures as created by God. I have had the privilege of going to more than 30 nations, and let me tell you, people don't always make it easy to love them. Right? You're all like head down because I'm with someone that maybe doesn't know. There are some cultures, I don't know if you know this, but they don't do things the way we do. They do it wrong. I mean different. They do it different. I remember one time I got to spend 9 months in India, completely different than anything I'd ever grown up with. There are about 1 billion people in India, and can I tell you this, for 9 months I was pretty sure they were all around me all the time. You never found a place to yourself in India. And in my mind, I was like, oh my gosh, how do you get anything done? Like, it's just people. A couple years later, I was back at the location we were based out of in Australia, and an Indian family moved there. And we found them this wonderful apartment on this nice, quiet little cul-de-sac because they had 3 young kids. And we said, hey, you know, this is your apartment. You're going to love it. The kids can play outside. A couple weeks later, I was talking to the mom. I said, hey, how are your kids doing? What do you think of the apartment? She was kind of like a little bit sheepish. And I said, no, tell me. She goes, well, it doesn't feel safe. And I said, why not? It's this perfect little environment for a family. She says, well, there's nobody out there. And I had this, just the light bulb went on. Oh, you see people around you very differently than I do. Again, I was right, but that's, no. Her understanding was that that large number of people was always safety. So here's 2 people, not a big issue. It's not a sin issue or something like that. It's just a different perspective. But we need to honor one another as cultures created by God and sought by God and saved through Jesus Christ. We need to honor not the bad part of cultures, not the sinful aspects. We don't honor those, hopefully, in our own culture, but we honor people because of who made them, because of their intrinsic value. And lastly, to get God's heart, we must jump in the work and preach the gospel to all nations. We got to be a part of what God is doing in the world. In fact, next week, we're going to look at how you can join us on mission. If True North Church is your home church, then you are already on mission with us. We're going to give you clear ways how you can join that. And in fact, one of those ways is this booklet has got 9 trips. Can I encourage you to jump on a mission trip this year? In fact, I hope that 9 is not enough. I hope that we have teams too big for where we want to go, and we need to plan more trips and find more trip leaders, because I truly believe that as we jump in and actually step into the work of preaching the gospel to all nations, we will grow in our heart for God, in our heart for God and for the nations, His heart for missions. I want you to be signing up for a quote-unquote 50K run in missions in a few years, because you jumped in on a short-term trip now. I didn't start with a 50K trip or 50K run. I started with a mile and I thought I was going to die. And some of you might go, Pastor Rob, I can't go overseas for a week. You don't understand. I don't like their food. I don't like all the stuff over there. But I want to encourage you, if we want to know God's heart, we got to jump in God's work, and that is preaching the gospel to all nations, because His heart is a day in heaven where before Him everybody stands worshiping Him in their language, with their family and their tribe, side by side, your family and your tribe worshiping in your language. This is God's heart for missions. This is God's heart for the nations. And as True North Church, we want to line up and understand and have God's heart for global missions. Amen. So I want to invite you, if you don't have the book, grab the book. Look at there. Sign up. Some of those trips are limited by space, so make it a race. Make it a race to see who gets to sign up for those trips first. Because we want to be a church preaching the gospel to all nations. Amen. Let me close by praying for us. Lord, thank you for showing us your heart, and that it's been your heart from day one. This isn't something new. This isn't something you created because you were looking down and said, I wonder what I can keep True North busy with. This is something, God, that is your heart, because your heart is to see the nations worshiping you. And we just say thank you, God, that we've been invited to participate with you in that. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 If you're here today and you are not totally sure, or you know that you're not going to be one of those people in Revelation 7 worshiping God because you don't have that relationship with Jesus, part of our mission is cross-cultural, but part of our mission is also here. And if that's you today, I want to give you the chance to start that relationship with God, to confirm your space, if you will, to purchase your ticket to be in eternity with all of us and the nations worshiping God. And you know, in Revelation 7:9, we see that the people know that salvation comes through the Lamb. It comes only through Jesus. And it comes by admitting that we've sinned, admitting that we're separate from God, believing in Jesus, who He was, what He did through His death on the cross and resurrection, and confessing Him as Lord, basically giving our lives to Him. If that's you today and you want to know for certain that you'll be part of that group worshiping for eternity, would you pray a little prayer with me to start that relationship? I'm gonna ask everybody in here, if you're online, you can join us and pray this prayer right where you're at as well. But would everyone in here just bow your head and close your eyes? And if that's you, would you pray this prayer with me? Jesus, I want to be one of those people worshiping you in heaven. And I know that can only come through relationship with your Son. So today I admit I've sinned and I don't have that relationship. But I declare I believe in Jesus, who He was and what He did. And I give my life to Jesus today to start that relationship and ensure my place in heaven for eternity. Jesus, will you be in relationship with me from now on? Amen.
What a fantastic service. Be sure to stay in touch by following us on social media so you can stay up to date with all that is happening at True North Church.